15 minutes, dear Laura.
Mention some of the ministers that visited and were known by the friends in Manasquan and other places nearby. At Manasquan, Sarah has already mentioned that Mabel Trafford prepared something to read at almost every meeting that she attended. And another friend who was a regular attender at meeting, and I think a member, was the I'm forgetting the names now, but her name was Ella Reynolds, usually called Aunt Ella Reynolds. She was not born a friend, but married a friend, and her husband is James Reynolds, known as Uncle Jim Reynolds, and she made a point of reading a hymn at every meeting. So these regular occurrences rather put a stamp on the meeting, and there wasn't an awful lot of ministry in the meeting during many of these years, and so these friends made a contribution which may have been of some importance. Not many friends visited the meeting, and we estimated that during the 20th century not more than five friends from overseas, from England, visited Manasquan, of which the last was George Nanny Chapman from Portadown, Ireland, Northern Ireland, and that was about 3 years ago, I think. But there were some quite outstanding friends that have attended before at my time, and something I discovered in later years is that John William Graham of Manchester had visited Manasquan, but after World War I, somewhere around 1920 or early 20s, Frederick Saintie of the eastern part of England was traveling in the ministry and came to Manasquan. At this time there was no electricity or running water in the meeting house, and we had an evening meeting, and there were brackets for lamps, and somehow we found enough lamps and candles to have an evening meeting in the meeting house. This is the only time I ever knew the meeting to be used in the evening with this kind of illumination. And Frederick Saintie was made quite an impression on people, telling them about his experience of war years in London in World War I, and also the general strike over there.
How do you spell his name?
S-A-N-T-E-Y, I think. And Grace Howson, who was chairman of the yearly meeting of elders of London yearly meeting, visited Manasquan sometime in the, well, I can't remember exactly when it was, but nearby there were friends still living in the 20s and 30s who were ministers in meetings that belonged to Friends General Conference. when the Friends General Conference yearly meetings discontinued the recording and recognizing of ministers, this did not affect people who had already been recorded or officially recognized as having a gift in the ministry. And so a number of elderly friends were still traveling. And among these was Foster and Margareta Haycock, who traveled together, members, I believe, of Baltimore yearly meeting, and visited Manasquan, and Reuben Custer of Newtown Meeting, which is near George School, visited our meeting here, and Archibald Smith, who is principal of the Friends Secondary School in Locust Valley, Long Island, visited our meeting, and Mary Travilla. These friends were people who were used to an older tradition of traveling in the ministry, and were about the last people who belonged to this tradition who visited Manasquan.
What did it mean to the people in the meeting? How was it different when they came? What? How did it function and work?
Well,
we have no idea of what you're talking about.
Well, at this time, if a friend was traveling, that is, not just coming from his home and visiting our meeting and then going home again,
right,
but if he was on the road, maybe for 2 or 3 months or something, it would be the courteous thing to do to give notice that he was to be present. And postcards would be sent around saying, Reuben Custer will be present at such and such a meeting. Let's just let people know that he was here, and he was here with the ministry on his mind, and traveling in the love of the gospel, as the whole phrase was. And people would, it would be a larger meeting usually under those circumstances.
Why? And did they come to be polite, or did they come because it was a particular type of thing that he said?
Well, I think if you want a real frank answer on this, it would be just so that he wouldn't see Manasquan meeting at its usual degree of smallness,
but
he'd get a better showing of friends in Manasquan. But also, I think friends are hungry for the ministry,
right,
although they rather forgotten what it was like.
Yeah, well,
we also
what
had...
What was it like? What did they say?
Yes. Well, there's only one friend that I remember, and that was Joel Borton of South Jersey. And Bortons are still in this area, certainly in Morristown, right here, where we're making this tape. And but he was a Hicksite. Well, most of the Bortons around here are Orthodox, and but a very evangelical Hicksite. And when he came to Manasquan, he rather startled the Manasquan friends by getting down on his knees, both knees, to pray. Well, of course, this had not been seen by anybody before. And his ministry intended to be rather on the emotional side. But after all these years, I can't remember exact content. But this was the tradition of ministers was still a living tradition among the Orthodox, but among the Hicksites it was a dying thing.
About how long did they talk, and what were their topics, their general topics, biblical, what you should be doing as an individual, or
Well, I don't really know enough about the Hicksite tradition of ministry to describe it as a type of ministry. I don't have enough data, but with the Orthodox, it was very frequently began with a biblical quotation, but this was not chosen at random. It was something that was going around in the speaker's mind, and he would speak for up to 20 minutes or so in my day, and this was something that it was a feature of Orthodox Quakerism when I first began to have experience of it in the early 30s. We had some Orthodox friends came to see us. One was William Bacon Evans, who came enough times so that people got to know him. His messages were usually brief, but usually memorable. And that is, I don't remember anything he said in Manasquan, because I wasn't always there when he was there. But many photographs of occasions in which he was there. He was much loved. He traveled around with all different branches of friends, although he's a Moorestown Orthodox friend. And James Moon of Falsington, which is not too far from Manasquan, was at Manasquan one Sunday morning, and I can't remember why, but it was at a time when I was there. And it was a time when the Young Friends were holding a seminar at a beachfront house owned by Sarah Benson's uncle. And John A. Hughes of England was leading this seminar, so he was at the meeting too. So it was an exceptional meeting, quite large, and the meeting house was full. And James Moon, who's the head of the Moon's Nursery, is still an active business in Falsington today, and was affectionately known all over the early meeting as Uncle Jim Moon. He spoke. He was near 80 in those days and wore black broadcloth. This was a way that some of the old Orthodox ministers dressed. And this was in the early 30s. Maybe 34 or something around there, and his message was launch out into the deeps. More ships are founder in the shallows than in the deep water, and so this is something that made an impression on me at that time. But at that time, I was very impressionable when it came to Quaker ministers, because I was in great need at that time. So at one point in the 30s, the meeting undertook to invite Elton Trueblood, who I think at that time was connected with Haverford College in some way, to come and speak. And he gave a stated address, and although it seems like a very mechanical thing to do, to get a professional speaker to come and give a address and to make a formal thing out of it, it stimulated interest in the meeting, and a lot of people around the fringes became more interested and joined meeting around that time, and I think this visit had something to do with it. So these are friends who visited at Manasquan. One of the ones who visited most frequently, or I should say regularly, that is, he made a kind of circuit, it was Daniel Batchelor, who was a hymnologist, and of course hymnologists, I guess, have a lot of time on their hands, and he wrote some hymns that are in our Quaker hymnal, which we sing in the Manasquan Friends Sunday School, such as Father, We Thank Thee for the Night. And he had a ministry to children. He came to both Manasquan and Plainfield half-yearly meeting, and I remember him in both places. And he usually didn't attend the sessions, but he gathered groups of children around him and gave them religious messages related to acoustics and sound. And he always carried tuning forks and little whistles and things, which was connected with his own chief interest, which was music and hymns. And the children were very responsive to this, because he was a very childlike person, but not insensitive to deep things. And when he came to Manasquan just after I had returned from a year's study at Pendle Hill and a year's study at Woodbrook, he took me for a long walk around the newly laid out Highview Park. There were hardly any houses on it then. And spoke to me very earnestly about the ministry and how important it is, and how important it is to remember that the ministry is speech, and speech has a lot to do with the lungs and the vocal cords, and a lot of things you have to learn how to use. And of course, young people need this. Most young people are not natural-born speakers. And so I took it all very seriously and appreciated it very much.